You may be seated. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
I remain forever a child before the Scriptures. I do not grow up beyond my Lord's Word. I'm always His child. I'm always dependent upon His Word. I'm always learning, His pupil, He the teacher. I do not so much as interpret the Word as the Word interprets me. For by His Word I am corrected and I'm admonished, I'm comforted, I'm absolved, I'm fathered in discipline, I'm fathered in love. These words remind me, especially as we plumb the depths of John 14, familiar words to bear in mind. Because Jesus tells His disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Read in the Greek, it has a more ominous tone as you envision those black storms of doubt and despair swirling around you. Terrasso is the word. Do not let your hearts be terrassoed. You can hear the wind howling. Do not let them be disturbed. Do not let your hearts be dropped in the heart of the sea and be agitated by that sifting machine of doubt and despair and temptation. Jesus continues, believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. But the question is, where is Jesus going? Safe to say that when we hear these words, we often are perhaps looking at a casket, or we are wiping tears away from our eyes, or we are cherishing the memories of the past and pondering the future glory of being with the saints and blessed eternal communion in heaven. Perhaps, though, we also think that Jesus is going to heaven to prepare a place for us there. Even more so, perhaps maybe we imagine that Jesus is going to this large mansion in the clouds and He's going there to fix us a room and dust it and tidy it up and put some freshly cut flowers and a mint on our pillow. And then this is where my reason and my feelings must submit themselves to the Word of God. Because Jesus doesn't say that He's going to heaven to prepare a place for us. The context of these words are very crucial to what Jesus is and is not saying. For Jesus speaks these words to His disciples on the night in which He was betrayed, when He told the disciples that one of them was going to betray Him. And then the disciples all wonder, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? This is also the night in which they celebrated the last Passover meal together. The same meal where He took the bread and He said, this is my body. And He also took the wine and He said, this is my blood, which is poured out for the many. This is also the same meal where He washed His disciples' feet to show them what His reign and kingdom should look like on earth. Here you have your diaconia and your ministry of service and motherhood. And He also said, this was the night in which He said, love one another as I have loved you. And then He told them that He was going somewhere where they could not really go at that point. And they could not follow yet. And Peter, kind of in a daze or kind of in a gray area, kind of understands. Well, why can't I go with you now, Lord? I will lay down my life for you. But Jesus responds, will you lay down your life for me? I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Is into that turmoil, into that mist in which Jesus says, do not let your hearts be terrassoed, be disturbed. Because He's going ahead of them by way of cross to prepare a place for them with His Father. He is going to go to heaven, but not at this point. First comes the cross, then comes the resurrection, then comes the ascension. He is making them a place with His Father. And heaven is where God is, but He prepares heaven not in heaven, but He prepares it upon the cross. For the cross is where all of this must end, right? And even more so, the cross is where all new things begin. Death is where sin comes to its end and goal. And if Jesus goes to heaven apart from the cross, then you know that we will not be any better off than when he came. We will still be in our sin. We will still have fear of death. And we still will have hell as our destiny. And we will still be separated from the holy and righteous God. But Jesus, you see, refuses to leave us in our rightful place. So he goes to the cross to carve out in the midst of death a place of life. The eternal God in his flesh, he fills up death. He fills up hell. So that now there's no more room, there's no more dwelling for you in death and hell, but rather there is now room and dwelling with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that is your place as a destiny in Christ. It is striking that Jesus uses a word for rooms that only is found twice in the entire Bible. First, when Jesus says here that his Father's house has many rooms, and later when Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home and dwell with him. This promise of Jesus is seen in the revelation that is given to St. John. He has a vision, John, where he sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, which is prepared as a bride adorned for the bridegroom. And in that city, which will come to cover the entire earth, John sees God dwelling with his people. And God says, I will dwell with them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. I will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, none of it. And there seated on the throne is the Lamb saying, behold, I come to make all things new. It's particularly at Christmas time that we confess and rejoice in the Word which has become flesh and dwelt, that is tabernacled among us, tented among us. And this is the view of heaven that Jesus is teaching us in John 14. Not one where we go up to heaven, but where heaven comes down to us. Because heaven finally in the scriptures is simply the place or name for where God is. And then you ask, where is God? God is here with you, giving you his gifts as his people. Wherever Jesus is, there God is, for that is heaven. Jesus is heaven and heaven is Jesus. For have I been with you this long that you do not know me? Jesus asked. But Jesus, must I know you to go to heaven? The atheist asked his Christian friend, what's so great about heaven? Well, he said, I don't know where to start because it's all so wonderful and all so great. It's beautiful, streets of gold, pearly gates, rivers of water that flow forever. Takes your breath away. And there won't be any hospitals or morgues because we'll be done with sickness and death. And you know what? You also get reunited with all those folks that died, that like your parents and your grandparents and your old friends. I mean, I can't wait for that. And of course, I can't forget to tell you about the angels. There's simply nothing but beauty and goodness and love in heaven. The atheist mulled this over and then said to the Christian, you know what? That sounds actually quite nice and good. In fact, for one important reason, it's just the place that I'd like to be. The Christian, surprised, asked, really? Why is that? The atheist said, you didn't mention God, and that's my kind of heaven. You peel back the outward layers of churchiness and religion, if you will, and you ask Christians, why do you want to go to heaven? The answer might surprise you. The answer to be with Jesus might not even make the top 10. give most people a choice between being with God in His house around His word and around His supper and around His hymns, or being with God in a mansion beside the beach or fishing on a lake or cheering in a stadium, and majority are packing fishing rods and bikinis and jerseys. Folks are dying to get there, but they have no care of whether God is there or not. But then how central is Christ to Christianity, and even more so to eternity itself? You see, when you are separated from those whom you love, you ache and you yearn and you long to be with them. The psalmist pens the familiar words, "As the deer pants for water brooks, even so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My God, when shall I come and stand before you?" For me, at this point in my life, the closest I've ever come to such aching and such longing is when Julie and I buried our fourth child. I long to see that child's face and embrace that child. Love, you see, in that intense creates a thirst that can only be quenched by the one whom you love. There are no replacements. So to the extent that we love Jesus in this life is the same extent that we will long to be with Him in the life which is to come. It's that simple. It's that easy. We don't miss people we don't love. Nor do we truly love people we don't miss. The reason that anyone would choose a heaven without Jesus, or happiness without Jesus, or healing without Jesus, is because, sadly, He doesn't really mean that much to them. We rarely stop to consider and realize that when we fantasize and think about heaven, it often is where an atheist could be walking alongside with us. We've often made Jesus into some sort of kind of golden ticket to a chocolate factory and an everlasting gobstopper. So last Thursday, I was at a funeral at my daughter's school, and one of the hymns that they sang was one I had sung many, many times, and you have sung it many, many times as well. But a line struck me as it never had before as I thought about it. "Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, were not near me." It occurred to me that these words did not often match the thoughts that I had regarding heaven. For would heaven really be void and bare if Jesus were not near me? The reason is found in the opening line of the hymn, "Lord, thee I love with all my heart." But I venture to say that even on my best days, if I were to sing honestly, I would sing, "Lord, thee I love with half my heart, for the world has claimed the other part." Lord, show us the Father. Please, show us the Father. My child, I and the Father are one. Jesus is God and people reunited. Heaven and earth come together in this man, Jesus. Today, when we eat the body and blood of Christ, we have a place with the angels, the archangels, and all the company of heaven as they gather around the throne of God. Here we find our true and proper place where God is. And so we should pray often that the Lord would surround our hearts so that it would contour it to love Him and never apart from what He has created. Everything that stands in the way of a life wholly devoted to God should be destroyed and replaced. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Clean the pleasures of this life that bring our God pain. Clean out the idols that make our Lord angry and sad, and clean out the desires that He desires not what we should have. And in this clean heart, finally teach us true love and true thankfulness, for all good gifts come from Him. The place that we go in Christ is paradise for one reason only. It's Christ. That's why it is so great. because Jesus is there. In the midst of all the turmoil, Jesus says, "Beloved, do not let your hearts be terrassoed in the fear of death." And even in all the good intentions that seemingly go nowhere in this life, do not let them be disturbed. Do not let them be troubled. Why? Because you can trust God. You can trust Jesus, because there God dwells among his people and you with him. He makes his home with you, his dwelling with you. And therefore you have a place with him. This is your Lord. He says when he speaks it, he does it. And so he does. For you have life in him. Even heaven itself is in him. For with him, nothing is void and nothing is bare. In the name of Jesus. Amen.